You're listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Katie Frankowitz, and it is Friday, August 15th. The U.S. Department of Justice is asking Oregon to turn over voter data, some of it sensitive. As Dirk Vanderhart reports, it's part of a national push by the Trump administration to take a greater role in how states administer elections.
Secretary of State Tobias Reid got two requests from the federal DOJ last month. One was an invitation for Oregon to share any data about voter fraud with the agency. The other was a request for detailed information about how the state keeps ineligible people from voting. Reid, a Democrat, says he's not inclined to comply. He worries the administration will mishandle the data or use it to make false claims about voter fraud.
I find it very hard to take these requests as sincere.
The secretary has already rejected one federal request and is working on a response to the other. But Oregon is not the only state getting this kind of attention. In recent weeks, justice officials have made similar requests to more than a dozen states around the country. I'm Dirk Vanderhart reporting.
Phil and Penny Knight have pledged $2 billion to OHSU to support cancer research and patient care. Amelia Templeton reports.
At a press conference announcing the gift, cancer researcher Dr. Brian Druker called it the largest single donation to a university on record. With the new money, the Knight Cancer Institute will become semi-independent with its own board of governors. Druker will be its first president. The gift will support two distinct goals: research to develop better cancer treatments, and support for patients to help them navigate the overwhelming process of cancer care, Druker says.
Imagine if you made one phone call and there was a caring, compassionate voice on the other end of the line that said, "We got this for you."
OHSU and academic medical centers across the country are bracing for cuts to their federal funding. Druker says he's grateful for the Knights' timing as well as their generosity. In Portland, I'm Amelia Templeton.
Federal health officials announced last week they are cutting hundreds of millions in funding for mRNA vaccine research. KNKX reporter Mitch Borden spoke with a researcher at the University of Washington who's now concerned it will become harder to develop inoculations for a wide array of infections.
The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services says it's moving away from developing mRNA vaccines and will instead invest in more traditional vaccines. University of Washington researchers contributed to the development of mRNA vaccinations for COVID-19 that have been proven to be safe and effective. Dr. David Cole is working on an mRNA vaccine for genital herpes. There's currently no vaccine for the disease. His work isn't affected by the most recent cuts, but he's worried the HHS cuts will have a chilling effect on explorations of this versatile technology.
mRNA was not only fast and effective, it's also new and has the potential to provoke better or different types of immune responses than, I would say, any of our other previous old school vaccine formats.
He says mRNA technology might be used for vaccines that could prevent cancer or tuberculosis. I'm Mitch Borden reporting.
A federal judge ruled this week with Oregon foster youth to expand who is considered a child placed in the state's care. Lauren Dake explains.
The state of Oregon is under a court order to lower the rate of abuse of children placed in its care. Child welfare officials tried to argue that children who are legally in their custody, but who have temporarily been placed back with their biological parents and are abused, should not be included in the overall rates of abuse. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals disagreed. The court's decision this week comes nearly a year after the Oregon Department of Human Services settled a sweeping class action lawsuit. As part of the settlement, the state promised to reduce the rate of mistreatment. That will now include all children who are in the state's custody, both physically and legally, even if the state temporarily places them back in their parents' care. There are roughly 4,700 children currently in Oregon's child welfare system. I'm Lauren Dake reporting.
Last year, Oregon saw its most destructive wildfire season on record, with 1.9 million acres burned. And state fire officials warn this year could be just as bad. In response, the Beverage Container Redemption Network, Bottle Drop, has announced it will support wildfire relief efforts and invites Oregonians to help by donating their bottles and cans. KLCC's Tiffany Eckert reports.
Bottle Drop is activating its emergency fund to support nonprofits providing wildfire relief. Between now and October 7th, for every 10-cent redeemable bottle or can donated, Bottle Drop will match up to $20,000. PR coordinator Liz Philpott says it all adds up.
We have found that customers, when there are important causes or incidents happening, they just want to give back in any way that they can. And sometimes people don't have a lot of money that they can donate, but they do have beverage containers.
Philpott says container donations can be made online or at any Bottle Drop redemption center. Tiffany Eckert reporting.
Washington state auditors have found that the state Commerce Department gave out $10.7 million in grant money without proper oversight. An audit found that the agency advanced the main contractor on a digital equity grant most of these millions, rather than reimbursing the organization for expenditures as required. Auditors also found that most of the $10.7 million the Commerce Department paid the Equity and Education Center did not have proper documentation showing what it paid for, says auditor Sadie Armijo.
We actually went out to this grantee and tried to get that information from them, and we were not able to get a lot of it. We really were only able to get support for about $2 million, and some of that was still pretty questionable.
Some of the spending was not allowed, Armijo said, like an open bar at a resort and first-class flights. Commerce Department head Joe Wynn said since he took over the agency in January, he's made major changes to ensure that staff and grantees are properly trained to prevent such situations in the future. New fees are coming to state parks in Tillamook County. Cape Lookout and Nehalem Bay state parks will see an increase in tent and RV camping rates next May. Meanwhile, visitors to Oswald West State Park, home to the extremely popular Short Sands Beach, will be required to pay for parking starting on October 1st. The changes come as the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department looks to address a projected 14% budget shortfall. The increase to overnight fees will be in effect between May 1st and September 30th, and year-round on weekends. The parking fees at Oswald West State Park will be $10 for Oregon residents and $12 for out-of-state visitors. 12 and 24-month passes will be available. The agency says the fee increases and additions were necessary because state parks are seeing increasing costs, record visitation, and a drop in the lottery funds that support operations. Significant water rate increases will be needed to keep the City of Tillamook's water fund solvent. Tillamook City Manager Sean Lewis recently told city councilors an 18% rate increase will be necessary for each of the next 5 years. The recommendation comes from a recently completed water rate study. The average bill for most Tillamook water customers hovers around $110 a month. This includes the base water rate, sewer, and optional leak protection. An 18% increase would bump that bill up to $113. A full 5 years of 18% rate increases each year would mean a bill of around $124 monthly. Lewis presented two options for increasing the water rate in the first year, including a phased approach or a full jump to 18%. The City Council will vote on the issue at an upcoming meeting. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald. For weather today in the Lower Columbia River region, showers with a high near 69. Tonight, more rain with lows in the high 50s. A chance of rain tomorrow, otherwise partly sunny with highs in the low 70s. Tomorrow night, a slight chance of showers, otherwise mostly cloudy with lows in the mid 50s. You're listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. Thanks for listening. We'll see you on Monday.